This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show. We're powered by PDC Energy. Joining us now, as he does on Tuesdays right around this time, with CSURams.com and RamWire insider Mike Brohard. Mike, that environment on Saturday was really cool, man. And it just kind of shows you what Canvas Stadium could really be. As you said last week, that whole day, though, for CSU Athletics was a pretty exciting day.
I thought it was a great day. It really... The student section has been tremendous this year. I mean, starting off with 12,000 kids showing up, that was a record at CSU for the student section that very first game. I think it shows that, you know, this group, I mean, we talked about it earlier. We had two classes of students on campus, the sophomores and freshmen, who'd never seen a live college event, and they keep coming, and they're sticking it out, and they're wild, and they're rowdy, and they're creating their own little, you know, groups among themselves, like a hard hat group. It's been an electric atmosphere, and obviously the players love it, and they hope to see it keep coming.
Mike, what is it then exactly? I mean, because I know, hey, fans are really excited to get out. Canvas Stadium is absolutely elite as far as, you know, just the facility that it is. What is it, man? I mean, is it all these things just coming together? And I like what you just said. You're getting student groups kind of creating these new traditions, so to speak. Can you put your thumb on what exactly is happening?
I've thought about it a lot, and I think it's a lot of little things. I think you have a group that's happy to be fully living the college experience for what it is and not taking online classes and going out and meeting people and being around other people. I think there's a lot of that. I talked to some of the student-athletes on other teams, and they were like, we just want to go back and support our other teams again because we haven't been able to do that for a year. I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, Saturday before the football game, and I was over at the men's basketball screenings, and I think there was about 500 to 1,000 people there just to watch the basketball team scrimmage. And they thought it was great. They got into it. So I think it's just a chance for us in society, us as a community, to get back around each other, try and do it in the safest way possible, but just enjoy being together and cheering for a common goal, which is, you know, success for our teams here at Colorado State.
Yeah, and all those things you just said, I agree with. Plus, you look at the 2 weeks leading up to that for the football side. Obviously, the basketball side. I mean, my goodness, everyone's so excited looking at some of the national way too early rankings and stuff. It's definitely a fun time to be a Rams basketball fan. But you know, we had talked about it, the Toledo win, going toe to toe with Iowa. Those things kind of leading into it. Maybe even taking the student section away. Just the other fans, they're looking at it, going, all right, this Rams team might be putting something together.
Yeah, and the homecoming weekend is always special.
Sure.
I think, you know, you didn't get one of those really last year, so the chance to come back and do that was obviously part of it. But, you know, the crowds have been spectacular. And I think also, I mean, we all, I think, like college football in the afternoon, and a Saturday afternoon kickoff in October was, man, it was just perfect. It was just great weather, and it was all that. And now you're starting to see a football team play well. They're getting a ground game going. You know, Caden Camper sets a record with making all six of his field goals. You got a defense that is still playing really well, and now it's creating turnovers. There's some excitement. I mean, they're ready to go down into New Mexico and go for something they haven't had for a while, and that's back-to-back conference wins and a win streak.
Yeah, and then we'd kind of keep them up at the top. It's nice for a week, Mike, just to see it up at the top of the Mountain West Mountain standings. You mentioned Caden Camper, though. Talk about that turnaround. You go to the Vanderbilt game, and it was a tough go for him, but some tough practices. I know, as you told us, you know, they're just trying to distract him when he's kicking. They're messing with him. It just seems like this team, though, was 100% behind him, and I know we can easily say that, but it really felt like that, just talking to some of the players, and look at that phenomenal turnaround he's had the last few games.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around. Like Steve Adazio says, it's love and trust, and I think you saw that with Camper. I was joking with Tadpole. I told him that Camper was all the pride of Puebla. now he wants to know how many punt returns he has to have in a game that is still a final back. But I thought it was interesting. So Camper said, when I talked to Caden about it, he said, you know, he thought it was odd when they started yelling at him and throwing stuff at him and you know, popping him with pads and things, because that's never going to happen in the game. But he did say that it made him focus on the kick, and he also had to make an adjustment. So he felt he was standing too far back on his heels, and that was leading him to rush through his kicks, which had him off. So he made a minor adjustment. He's up on his toes with his, you know, his kicking foot behind his plant foot, and he says he doesn't feel rushed anymore. And he said also talking to Stonehouse was really good for him, and Stonehouse is somebody to go if you want to know information from somebody that has had success, that knows consistency. And Stonehouse just convinced him, stay true to your form and just step back and rip it. And that was obviously really good advice for him. Tatum said it helped him get his confidence back up, and now he's 11 of 11. So that's a pretty good run.
It's phenomenal. It really is. And, I mean, I'm looking. I can't put my finger on the number. There was a lot of missed kicks in the NFL this weekend, Mike. So I think, you know, maybe they could have used Caden Camper a little bit. Hey, Ryan Stonehouse had a punt, and it ultimately was muffed. The Rams recovered. I can't recall, Mike, if that was in the first half. Stonehouse did that on purpose, right? The ball looked really wobbly, and I thought when it was high in the air, I'm thinking, that looks like it's going to be really difficult to catch. And it was. And you have to think, with as good as Stonehouse is, that was 100% on purpose, right?
Some of it is, yeah. So let's put it this way. One thing that Stonehouse does that most people don't, he has a different drop than I would say 98% of the punters in the league. And it stems back from, you know, the guy that taught his uncle and his father, who were both really successful punters in college, how to punt. And it's a different drop. And it's one that Goody here, who controls, you know, special teams, quality control coach, he wouldn't teach anybody because he doesn't know it. It's very rare. Very few people do it. But it can give Ryan some control on the ball and kind of how it spins and what he can make it do. And, yeah, it doesn't work all the time, but the way it comes off his foot, it's not always easy. And I think it gets amplified because, if you remember correctly, during that game, the wind was gusting pretty good at that time too. And so you get a ball up in the air and it's already spinning and it's going to, you know, those RPMs, I think you talked about spin rate with a pitcher's pitch, it gets kind of the same thing with a kick.
How about, let's go over to Todd Senteo. That, I mean, it was just so cool to see him put together a nice game like that, 19 of 23, 232 yards. He had the touchdown. But, of course, I think what was really refreshing to see, and I think hopefully a big confidence booster, was him connecting on one of those deep balls.
Yeah, the pass to Ty McCall for the 60-yard touchdown was real big. It was for him. It was also big for Ty, who's been, you know, trying to make those kind of plays. They've been trying to get him to do that. But what was most impressive to me was that was a 3rd and 10 play. And he kept his composure, he waited for that play to develop, and he threw a perfect strike to Ty. And then I was joking with Ty. I said, you know, it's about time you showed your speed. And he said that his teammates were telling him he's still slow, so we'll see how that goes. But he looked like he had some pretty good goals on that. And he made the right move. But no, that's... it's an important play for the offense because they need to be more explosive. You need, for that run game to work, you need to have a vertical threat. You don't have to hit 10 of them a game. You just have to have the threat that you can hit them, and now you have.
New Mexico's lost their last four games, including kind of, you know, getting knocked around by San Diego State 31-7, which isn't a huge surprise there. It's an interesting weekend, Mike. We're going from the last few weeks, the Rams were underdogs. San Jose State, they were a favorite, but I still think, you know, people were skeptical. This one you're looking at going, man, the Rams, we're going back to where we were week one or two. Feels like the Rams should win this one, and dare I say, rather easily.
They should. History's on their side. They've won this matchup 10 straight times. They've had New Mexico's number no matter who the coach was. It's interesting now, back at New Mexico, you got Rocky Long as your defensive coordinator, so he brings that funky defense to him. I don't think they're completely adept at running his defensive set yet, obviously, from watching them play and looking at what the numbers have been. But, yeah, this is a team that they're still trying to get their bearings together. They had it probably tougher than Colorado State did in some regards last year because, for the most part, they couldn't even play in their home state. They moved to Vegas for a while. I don't know that they've gotten a whole lot of established under Danny Gonzalez, so there's still a work in progress. But, yeah, this is a game. Colorado State should be favored, but they've got to take the approach. It's a one-week season for them. They have to go into improve still some other things. This is not a complete Colorado State team by any means yet. They know it. They're still trying to improve. And they can't just go into this game down in Albuquerque and go, we beat them 10 times, we're going to do it again. They're going to have to work at it. They're going to have to earn it. They're going to have to look even more impressive than they have.
Mike, what do you got for us that we can check out today, maybe a little bit later in the week at CSURams.com?
Working on a piece right now on the offensive line. I thought it was interesting. I mean, they lost Vincent Bacozzi to a season-ending injury. You saw Barry Wesley move back inside. He started every game in his college career, but he was back in at guard. Keith Williams made his first start at tackle. And to me, it shows some development on that offensive line. So 3 out of 4 games, they rushed for 200 yards. And the fact that they were able to make an adjustment to their starting five and still keep it going, and with a backup running back in Ajon Bivens having a clear game, it shows that that offensive line is making strides to the kind of group that it wants to be. And I just think it's interesting development.
Yeah, well, we'll see if they can keep it rolling, man. Like you said, a great environment Saturday, getting a couple of games on the road. We'll see if they come back to a really electric home crowd. Mike, always appreciate you, my friend.
You bet. You take care.
All right, man. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up the show. Coming back, we'll get closing thoughts. Look at some Major League Baseball scores for you when we come back.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.